Because it will take too long. I want to just read a couple of verses, and I call this message Four Lepers, because that's what it's about. In 2 Kings chapter 7, and look there at verse 3, 2 Kings 7, 3, the Bible says, "And there were four leprous men at the entering of the gate, and they said one to another, Why sit we here until we die? If we say we will enter into the city, then the famine is in the city, and we shall die there. And if we sit here, we die also. Now therefore come, and let us fall into the host of the Syrians. If they save us alive, we shall live. And if they kill us, we shall but die." Now I want to preach this more, like I said, on four lepers, and I just read you the condition they were in. But I want to go back to chapter 6 and establish an introduction here to what I'm going to say. I hope you read these verses, these chapters, but in case you haven't, I'll tell you what's going on. In chapter 6, this was the time when Jehoiakim was the king of Israel. You know, he was the son of Ahab and Jezebel, which were two of the most wicked people in the Bible. And he was just about as wicked as they were. And Israel at this time was shut up in the city of Samaria. They were surrounded outside by the Syrian army under King Ben-Hadad. And they'd been there for so long, and they'd been surrounded so long, that there was a great famine in Syria. They were dying. Matter of fact, conditions got so bad. Let me just show you how bad the conditions were. Look in chapter 6 and verse 25. The Bible says, "And there was great famine in Samaria, and behold, they besieged it until an ass's head was sold for 40 pieces of silver, and the fourth part of a calf of dove's dung for 5 pieces of silver." Now the famine had become so bad, they were eating the head of donkeys, they was eating the waste of birds, they were selling that stuff, and then on down there a little bit further, they was even eating their babies. Because look there at verse 28, the Bible says, "The king come along there one day, and there was two women. One of them was hollering out to the king, said, 'I want to talk to you. I've got something happened here.' And the king began to ask what's happened. In verse 28, 'And the king said unto her, What aileth thee? And she answered, This woman said unto me, Give thy son that we may eat him today, and we'll eat thy son tomorrow. And verse 29, So we boiled my son and did eat him. And I said unto her, On the next day, Give me thy son that we may eat him. And she'd hid her son." Now, things had got so bad, look what they was eating. Two women had agreed to, "We'll eat your son today and eat my son tomorrow." And when that day come, of course, she hid her son, and she complied to the king. Now, you say, that's awful. That's plumb awful. But folks, back then in Deuteronomy, I won't turn it back, in Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 52 and verse 53, God told them they'd do this. God said, "You'll eat the fruit of your own body." You see how ungodly and how deep a person goes without God, see? You see similar things going on today. We see people just doing things that are just inhuman, unnatural, things you just wouldn't believe. But without God, there's no telling what anybody will do. And of course, when this woman appeared to the king up there in verse 31, the king blames Elijah for the condition they're in. Look what he said there in verse 31. "Then he said, God do so and more to me if the head of Elijah the son of Shimbad shall stand on him this day." He said, "God just do just as much to me if I don't get Elijah's head cut off today." See, they blame the man of God for the condition they're in. But that wasn't the true condition. You know, people say, "Well, you're a troublemaker. You come in here and start preaching about hell and preaching about our drinking and our wickedness and all these things. You ain't nothing but a troublemaker." But you know what the trouble was, the condition they were in? They were Baal worshippers. Now, I'm going to tell you the major trouble of America today. It's not the drunks. It's not the dope heads. It's not the all this ungodly sin that's going on. It's Catholicism. That's the trouble with America. God's going to bring judgment on this nation because of the wickedness of people that are turned to religion over revealed truth of God's Word. It's the same thing. Baal worship goes right back to Roman Catholicism. I can take the Bible and show you that. You say, I don't like that, and you making up people upset, because I know in every dispensation that the major religion has always been Catholicism. It still is today, but it's still anti-God. You can call it what you want. And that was the trouble, and that was the reason that they were in the condition they were in, and they blamed God's man for it. They was in Baal worship, introduced to them through the son of Ahab. And you know what all that about. I don't have time getting all that text right now. And then in verse 32, the Bible says there that Elijah was in his house, and this king sent a messenger to take Elijah's head. Now, it's just like always, you know, Elijah knew what was going to happen there. In verse 32, the Bible said, but Elijah sat in the house, and the elders sat with him, and the king sent a man from before him. But ere the messenger came to him, he said to the elders, see how this son of a murderer, talking about Ahab's son, has sent to take away mine head. Look, when the messenger comes, shut the door, and hold him fast at the door, is not the sound of his master's feet behind him. Now, what Elijah says, several things here. Elijah knew what was going to happen. Just like every Bible believer knows what's going to happen, and knows the condition they're in, and he knows why they're in that condition. See, Elijah, it wasn't no secret when he said, look here, that this man is coming after me to get my head. But when he comes, just stop him at the door, because I know the master, his master, which was the king, is right behind him. You see, Elijah had a message for the king, and he wanted to tell the king. So then we go on here, down here in verse 33, the Bible says, and while he yet talked with them, behold, the messenger came down to him, and he said, behold, this evil is of the Lord. What should I wait for the Lord any longer? Now, Elijah said, this evil's of the Lord. In other words, he said, this thing that this man is doing, God is in it, so God can intervene and do something. Now, a lot of times, you know, things happen to us, and we say, oh, man, that's rough. But a lot of times, you know, God's doing something in your life, maybe that he can intervene, show you something. And that's exactly what happened here. God had a part in this. God used this man to come down and try to cut Elijah's head off so God could intervene and do something about it. Now, you'll notice there in the next chapter, really what the whole thing's about, God gave Elijah a message. And notice in chapter 7, that's really what it's about. That's kind of my introduction. Now, I'm going to start telling you now what I'm going to preach this morning. In verse chapter 7, verse 1, the Bible said, then Elijah said, hear the word of the Lord. Now, you'll notice something that's real unique here. You'll notice that when God sends a message, he doesn't use the most popular preacher in town and the preacher with the biggest church, does he? I mean, Elijah wasn't the most popular fellow around. Matter of fact, he'd already been blamed for the condition things was in. And he wasn't in too good a favor of the majority of the populace. But he had the message and he had the solution to the problem. See? Because that's what chapter 7 is about. Chapter 7 shows us how God delivered Samaria not only from the Syrians, but from the famine. See? Now look what Elijah said in chapter 1, verse 7. Hear the word of the Lord. Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria. Now, look something here, something that's real good here. They couldn't believe this. Elijah says, as bad as things were, they were eating the head of donkey, women were eating their babies, and Elijah said, listen, hear the word of God. He said, tomorrow about this time, at the gate of Samaria, they're going to sell food not only cheap, but it's going to be cheaper than normal. And that just didn't seem real. They said, well, how in the world can that be? You're telling me right now that here it is, people are starving to death, can't get nothing to eat tomorrow. You're saying we're going to have so much food, it's going to sell cheaper than normal. They couldn't believe the word of God. So like today, it's rejected. You go and tell an old hardened, wicked, adulterous sinner or murderer or drunkard that God can straighten your life up and God can give you a perfect life and peace and joy. And they say, me? Me? You know, they can't believe it, see? It sounds impossible. But God can do it. And this man here in verse 2, there's an illustration here of a man. In verse 2, the Bible says, then a lord of whose hand the king leaned. Now, this is the one that came to cut Elijah's head off. See, we would say this, be the king's right-hand man. Now, here's what he said. This man says here, he said, behold, if the Lord will make windows in heaven, might this thing be. See, he's saying it's impossible. He said, the only way this could happen if God was to open the windows of heaven. Folks, let me tell you something. God can open the windows of heaven and pour out anything we need. Amen? See, if we just take God at his word. But people won't do that. I mean, this man said it. This man doubted God's word, and we're going to see later on that this man doubting what God said is going to cost him his life. Now, you notice something about this. Elijah just said, about this time tomorrow in the gates of Samaria, food is going to be sold cheaper than normal. Now, you notice Elijah didn't say how it was going to happen. You know, God didn't tell us to explain everything in the Bible. He just said, tell what he said. Amen? Elijah didn't even mention how God was going to do it. And that's what I want to preach on this morning, really, how God performed his word here. And what he used to perform this word. He used four leopards to make this come true. Now, the Bible says in verse 3, the verse I read when I started this morning, there was four lepers at the gate of Israel. They was outside the gate. And they were sitting there talking, and one of them said, look here. If we stay here, we're just going to die. If we go inside Samaria, they're starving to death, we're going to just die in there. They said, why don't we go down and just give ourselves to the Syrians? If they kill us, what do we got to lose? If they keep us alive, at least we got life. It's the only hope we got. Now, a man can say this. He can say, here I am in the world. I can join a religion. I can go here. I can go there. But if he don't go to Jesus, he's still going to die. Amen? Now, that's exactly what that's talking about here. They said, we'll just go down to Samaria. And like I said, what seems impossible with man is because they don't believe the word of God. God is able to perform everything he says in his word. Now let me just remind you a couple of verses here. The Bible said in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 27, it said, but God had chose the foolish things of the world to confound the wise. And God had chosen the weak things of the world to confound the things which are mighty. And I want to turn over there and I want to read a couple more verses in 1 Corinthians because I want to show you something there I think is important this morning that goes right along with this. And this is what part of the trouble that's wrong with not only the world as a whole, but it's wrong in the churches as they stand today. In 1 Corinthians, Paul gives a dissertation on worldly wisdom and godly wisdom and knowing God, not knowing God. And he makes this statement there in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 in verse 19. Here's what he says. He said, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudence. Now listen to verse 20. He said, where is the wise? You know where they are? A lot of them are dead in hell. Amen? And he said this, where is the scribe? Those that try to correct God and rewrite the Bible. He said, where are they at? He said, where is the disputer of this world? Now listen to this. Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? You know what he said there? He said that all the wisdom this world has ever had to God is nothing but foolishness. Now folks, if we could accept that verse and realize that everything we do in this world, all the knowledge we have of this world, everything that we've accomplished in this world, he says, as far as God's concerned, it's a bunch of foolishness. Now listen to this. And he said in verse 21, for after that is the wisdom of God. He said after a man gets all the wisdom he can, then after that, there's wisdom of God. He says, he said this, the world by wisdom knew not God. Now let me stop right there just for a minute. I'm going to say something that I'd probably upset a lot of people if I ever did. But a man will never, never, never learn enough to know God. That's what it just says. He says, the wisdom of this world is foolishness with God. And he said, the wisdom of this world doesn't bring knowledge of God. And he'll give a little bit more of this in the next chapter. But look what he says. Let me finish that verse. He says, the world by wisdom knew not God. But he said this, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. You know what he said there? He said, the only way a man will ever know God is through preaching. That means what the world needs today is not more schools and education and seminaries, need more preaching. That's what the Bible says. You know, we've come to a point now just about where we think a man can't even be saved unless he goes to Bible college. And I'm not against that, never have been. I'm saying this, that's not the solution, folks. The solution is the preaching of the cross. Because look up there in verse 18. He says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish foolishness. See? That's foolishness to God because that's wisdom of God. The world don't want that. That's foolish to the world. And what the world wants, God said, is foolishness unto him. A man will never, never know God apart from the cross. And a man will never, never come to the cross that he don't have to face his sin as he is. And we've got people running around and say, I'm this and I'm that, and they've never had to face the reality of their sin. You know what I'm telling you? I'm telling you this, that a man never faced the reality of his sin has never known God. I mean, that's where sin was paid for. And if a man rejects the cross, he rejects God. And if he rejects God, he'll go to hell. And this same thing is in type back over here in 2 Kings. God said something was going to happen. This man didn't believe it. And God used four lepers to bring forth his word to do exactly what his word said. And I'm going to tell you something, folks. I believe every person is saved and knows they're saved. The prayer daily ought to be, God, use me. Use me to fulfill your word. Some people are so far away from God, God couldn't even find them, let alone use them. And verse 3 and verse 4, the verses I read you, is a Bible illustration of how God does things that people can't understand or believe. Suppose somebody would have went down to the king of Samaria and said, King, that you're starving to death. Your nation is gone. But there's four old lepers out there at the gate that's dying. And they're going to rescue your city. He said, well, you're crazy. I'm a lot smarter than they are. I've got a lot more power than they are. I'm more well known than they. Ain't no such thing as them rescuing our city. But like I said, the foolish things of God, see? The foolish of the world to God. God used these four lepers. Now let me show you something else about leprosy, and I'll bring you up to date on something that's going on today. Notice, we find leprosy in 2 Kings chapter 5 under, who was it, Naaman? I think, yeah, Naaman. I get that word mixed up sometimes. But you don't find leprosy from the time of Moses up to this time. Now, you know what that shows me? It shows me this. Something God said back here in the book of Exodus. I want to read you a verse back in Exodus chapter 15. Now, you listen to me. Exodus chapter 15 and verse 26. Here's what God told his people. The Bible says in Exodus 15, 26, and said, if thou wilt diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God. Now this is what God told his people. He said, if you will diligently hearken to the voice of the Lord thy God, and will do that which is right in his sight, and will give ear to his commandments,
and keep all his statutes. Now listen to this. I will put none of these diseases upon thee, which I have brought upon the Egyptians, for I am the Lord that healeth thee. You know what God told his people? He said, if you'll listen to my word, and you're diligent, you'll give yourself to doing what I want done, he said, the diseases that you found down there in Egypt, I won't bring on you. You said, verse 3, that's Old Testament, though, and that's back under another dispensation. I know, but same God we serve, the same one that said that. That was under law. What do you think he'd do under grace if we diligently give everything to doing what God wants? And the fact today is that I go everywhere and I see the same sin just about in all churches that's practiced, tolerated, and accepted as you do out here in the world, go to show that God's people have just about gone total apostate. And that's exactly what happened here. The reason we see leprosy here is because God's people had gone apostate under apostate king. That was the trouble. And that's what the trouble is today. The trouble with America is not Congress, it's not the president, it's God's people going apostate away from God and won't diligently seek the word of God. And so God is going to do something here. But you find the same sin. Now let me read another verse here and I'll show you how God began to move and God began to work here. These four lepers had come to this decision. They says, here we are, we're outside the gate of Samaria, we leprosy is a type of sin. And they said, if we stay here, we're going to die. If we go in there, we're going to die. We've got one chance. It's a slim one, but it's a chance. If we go down and give ourselves to the Syrians, they might save us. If they don't kill us, what have we lost? You know, it's like this. You know, if a lost man could just come to this point and say, it don't matter what I do or how I live, if I'm lost and I don't get saved, I'm going to burn. Why don't I come to Jesus? What have I got to lose? A man told me one time, he said, I think you're wrong about all that stuff. And I said, well, the Bible said, answer a fool according to his folly. So let me answer you like a fool. You talk like a fool. Let me answer you like a fool. I said, suppose you're right. Suppose there's no heaven and there's no hell and I die. What have I lost? I've had peace and joy and contentment in this world. I've enjoyed pretending, amen? I said, but suppose I'm right and there is a hell. Who's going to be better off when they die, me or you? See? And that's exactly the way they faced it here. I mean, you know, a man has got to be just saturated and controlled by the devil to reject Jesus Christ. And yet they do it every day. Now, in verse 6 and verse 7 shows how God defeats the enemy. And we don't even, you know, sometimes I'm sure this happens. Did you ever sometimes say, boy, that thing worked out perfect. That thing worked out perfect for me. Man, that thing, I was sure was lucky. No, you wasn't. God just done something before you ever got there and fixed everything up. Did you ever knock on, we was out visiting one night, we knocked on a man's door, and the man was 63 years old, the oldest man I ever won to God. He was 63 years old. And I took the Bible and opened it up. I began to show him what the Bible said. I said, you know the Bible said that you are lost? He said, yeah, you know I know that. And boy, tears began to fall in his eyes. And you know, less than 10 minutes, I had that man's knees asking God to save him. You know why? Because God had done something before I got there. I didn't do nothing. God had already had that man ready. See? God had done something before I got there. If I'd have had it done, I'd have talked 2 hours, and I'd have been right back where I started. I've done it many times. I've knocked on the door and talked to a fellow 2 hours. I tell him everything the Bible says, and when it comes to a showdown, we're right back where we started. You know why? Because God ain't done nothing. Now, folks, look at here. The Bible says there in verse 5, and they rose up in the twilight to go into the camp of the Syrians. And when they were come to the othermost parts of the camp of Syria, behold, there was no man there. The Bible said when they got there, there wasn't a soul there. You know why? Because God had done something. Look at verse 6. For the Lord had made the host of the Syrians to hear a noise of chariots, and a great noise of horses, even the noise of a great host. And they said one to another, lo, the king of Israel hath hired against us the king of the Hittites and the king of the Egyptians to come upon us. You know what that's saying? It's saying that God made it sound like that all the armies of the surrounding area was coming against them, and they got so scared they left, and they left so fast they didn't take nothing with them, just afraid of the lie. Ain't that something? I mean, that's what God is doing to fulfill His word. Now you say, well, now, how in the world can we do something? See, that's what God can do. And look there at verse 7. Wherefore they arose and fled in the twilight and left their tents and their horses and their asses, even the camp as it was, and fled for their lives. Now, so when these four leopards come in there, they come in there, they don't find nobody there. It's not a soul there. Not even a crawling, even the rattlesnakes got skin and run off. And they're coming down and has all the tents and all the horses and all the clothes and all the food and all the silver and all the gold. Can you imagine walking to a big city with nobody there and just helping yourself? And that's exactly what they did. Now, I believe these four lepers are a type of saved people. I'll show you why for two reasons. Number one, they got under conviction. Because look there at verse 9. Then they said one to another, we do not well. See? They got a conviction about what they're doing. You see, the first thing they thought about was, we got all this for ourselves. Amen? And that's like a lot of saved people. See, now let me tell you something. But unsaved people will never get a conviction about nothing for nothing but their sin. You know, that's the joy about being saved. When we're saved, if we try to follow God, God will give us conviction about doing things we ought not do. Amen? Huh? Unsaved people don't have that. That's why they don't see nothing wrong. I don't see nothing wrong with Brestry. And that's just your interpretation. I don't see nothing wrong. You know why? God ain't showed them nothing. Amen? So they got in a conviction. And number two, the reason I believe they were saved people, look on down there at verse 8. And when these leopards came to the othermost part of the camp, they went unto one tent, and did eat and drink, and carried thence silver and gold and raiment, and went and hid it. They was eating and drinking and hiding something. Huh? I meant, that's the way a lot of saved people are. They say they like to eat and drink and hide something. Now, folks, I'm not against eating and drinking, by no means. I'm glad, ain't you? But let me say this to you. We're hiding something. We're too content. We, as fundamental, Bible-believing, saved people that know we're saved, people, the world out there this morning is starving to death for the Word of God, and we're sitting back keeping our mouth shut too often. We're hiding what we ought to be putting out and exposing. Amen? You've got churches, and I know numbers of them, they're saved, they believe the Word of God, they're sound, and they're sitting back and just stacking up everything for themselves. They ain't spending one dime, they ain't going to no expense or no trouble to tell nobody about the Word of God. I think if a church takes an offering on Sunday morning, they ought to spend some of that offering to tell people about what thus saith the Word of God. Amen? I don't believe you can be New Testament Baptist if you can't evangelize to some extent. And notice also there in verse 9, the last part of that verse, they come into conviction. When they come into conviction, notice what they said. They said, now therefore come, that we may go and tell. See? There's a conviction to go and tell, not go and sell. Amen? Go and tell. That's what God wants us to do. Go and tell. I mean, if you got something to tell, you ought to tell it. These folks ain't got nothing to tell. It's on the radio and television, just running their mouths, sending people to hell with them. They got nothing to say. And folks that know and have something to tell are sitting back keeping their mouths shut. Now, I want you to notice something else about these four. They sit back and say nothing about what God said. That's one of the reasons today you've got so many churches putting on so many programs and and having so many singings and special activities because they're not getting nothing to the Word of God. Now, folks, I found this. Let me tell you something here. I found this in the past 20 years. The Word of God will keep you as busy and as active as you want to be. Amen? Without calling any kind of special activity in your church. Huh? You follow the Word of God, and I guarantee you got a 24-hour job 7 days a week. You don't need no special activity or special program in your church to get people involved in doing something. Now, you preach like that, a lot of folks don't like that. All right, now, let's look at something else. Notice what they told. They said, we better go tell this thing to the king. Now, don't you notice what they told? Now, what they could have went back, you know, and they could have said, King, we have just what you need. We know where there's plenty of horses and tents and food and everything. You know, we went down and we tricked them people and we got everything just what we needed. You know, for a little consideration, we just might let you in on this. Amen? A lot of churches go out and try to trick sinners into coming to church. Huh? Folks, let me tell you something. You know what they done? They told it just as it was. They said, we don't know what happened. We went in there and there wasn't nobody there. Wasn't a soul there. But everything was just like they left it. There's plenty to eat. There's tents and food and clothes. You can just go in there. It's all there. Now let me show you something Jesus said. Jesus said, number one, I'm the way. He said, I am the way. I mean, if you don't know the way, you don't know where you're going. You're just drifting. Amen? That's why folks don't know what to be. They just drift. They don't know what, they don't know the way. Jesus also said, he said, I'm not on the way. He said, I'm the truth. I mean, not the truth, folks. You don't know nothing for sure. That's why so many people are guessing about, well, I hope I make it. Hope I endure. You know why? They're guessing. You know why? They don't know the truth. Huh? I mean, that's why people today are so confused and don't know nothing. I've never seen the likes of people that profess to be saved and even churches and preachers that don't know nothing. I ain't met a preacher since I've been to South Florida that knows very much when it comes to the Word of God. They just don't know nothing. You know why? They ain't got nothing from God. That's why they got to have all these special things in the church and these special promotions. Let me tell you something. If God give them something, they'd have all they could handle. And Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth. And Jesus said, I'm the life. And without life, man's not living, he's just existing. So they went back and they told it just like it was. Look at verse 10. The Bible says, so they came and called unto the porter of the city, and they told him, saying, we came to the camp of the Syrians, and behold, there was no man there, neither voice of man, but horses tied and asses tied, and the tents as they were. They said, we came in that city, and there wasn't nobody there, but everything was just like they left it. And it's all there. It's wide open for anybody. And they told the truth. Amen? Now, folks, look. That's all God asks us to do, isn't it? Just simply tell people the truth about what he said. We don't have to dress it up. We don't have to polish it up, make it sound like it don't sound, just tell people the truth. That's what God expects. And then you'll notice here something else about this. The results is the same. The Bible said in verse 12, and the king arose in the night and said to his servant, I will now show you what the Syrians have done to us. They know that we be hungry. Therefore are they gone out of the camp to hide themselves in the field, saying, when they come out of the city, we shall catch them alive and get into the city. Now see, the first thing the king thought was, it's a trick. Now what most people think about when you try to tell them the truth, they think you're trying to trick them. One fellow told me one time, he said, preacher, all you want me to come to church for is to get my money. See, they'll use that for an excuse. Well, you don't care. See, they don't realize it. Look, I'm wanting to help you. These four lepers, they were wanting preservation for the whole place. They said, look, it's all there. Help yourself. And the king didn't believe it.
See?
Non-belief of what God said is already going to cost one man his life. So they sent out some, I won't read all this thing. The Bible said in verse 14, they took therefore two chariot horses, and the king sent after the host of Syria, saying, go and see. And they went, and when they went down and saw him, they come back and brought the report back. They caused a mob riot. Huh? Isn't it amazing? What amazes me probably the most is I hear people talking. They'll talk about how they used to go out and get in ballroom brawls and fight and cuss and live like hell. And then say, you remember old so-and-so? Yeah, he goes to church now. He quit drinking, quit all his ungodly. And you know, they'll see what God can do. They'll still continue as they were. Isn't that something? See, they'll see the miracle power of God in other people's lives, and they'll still sit back and reject God. Man, without God, so wicked in his heart, I don't see how God puts up with him. But let's read on here a few more verses. Notice here in this verse, in verse 16, and the people went out and spoiled the tents of the Syrians. So a measure of flour was sold for a shekel, and two measures of barley for a shekel, according to the word of the Lord. Huh? Just like God said it would be. Amen? Just like God said it would be. Folks, let me tell you something this morning. Anything is not according to the word of God is wrong. I don't care what you call it. And I'm going to say something else, just a little bit deeper and a little bit stronger than that. Any church that doesn't have the Word of God don't have nothing and ain't doing nothing for God. According to the Word of the Lord. And that's part of the trouble here. You got too many people sitting around that profess to be Christians and they don't even know what the Word of God is, let alone what to do according to the Word of God. And some fella come up like me, you know, ain't got no more sense and believe what God said because God's word is true. I believe it is. The one thing I've always professed to believe is believe will be a Bible believer. And they say, well, now, you can't be that serious about these matters. I've never been more serious in the world than I am about what the word of God says and what the word of God is. The day, and if it was to happen today, if I was to lose my mind today and quit believing this Bible I hold in my hand was the only authority of God, there wouldn't be no church here Thursday night. At least I wouldn't be here if it did. Now look at verse 17. And the king appointed the Lord of whose hand he leaned on. Here's the Lord now that came to cut Elijah's head off. Here's the one that said, the only way this thing could ever happen was if God was to open the windows of heaven. He said, it's impossible. We're in there starving to death. You're talking about in 24 hours, food's going to be sold under a normal price. He didn't believe it, see? So Elijah told him back there. Elijah said back there, I believe it's in verse 2. Elijah said, and he said, behold, thou shalt see it with thine eyes, but shall not eat of it. Elijah said, all right, you're going to see it. But you ain't going to be a part of it. Amen? Now, God didn't say it. Elijah said it. But notice, Elijah was God's man. Now, God gives his man his word. And a lot of times, if a man will believe God, that man might even say things that God will perform just to prove he's behind that man. Amen? Now, God didn't say that. Elijah said it. But look at here. The Bible says in verse 17, and the king appointed the Lord, of whose hand he leaned, to have the charge of the gate. And the people trotted upon him in the gate, and he died. As the man of God had said, who spake when the king came down to him. The Bible says that the king gave this man the charge over this thing. And the Bible said when the people heard it was true, they rampaged out the gate so fast, so many horses and people running, they stomped into death right there at the gate, just like Elijah said. Amen? He saw it, but he never was a partaker of it. Elijah said, you'll see it, but you'll never eat of it. Folks, let me show you something here. Unbelief cost this man his life. Unbelief, O sinners, this morning, is going to cost them their eternal soul in the lake of fire. The lake of fire. Now, let me just kind of bring it to a close now and put it all together. These four leopards were outside dying. Israel was inside dying. I mean, folks, look at here. It doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter what you're doing, what you've got, what people think about you. If you're unsaved, you're going to hell. And you'll stay unsaved unless God does something. Suppose God had never done nothing here. All of this, what Elijah said, what these four lepers found, what these people were partaking of, is because God did something. Amen? And all we'll ever amount to and all we'll ever do is the mere fact of what God will do with us. God used four leopards outside a city that nobody would even speak to, get close to, and God used them. And I'm telling you this morning, God will take an old saved sinner and win a lot of unsaved sinners by Him if they'll go with the Word of God. These four lepers were outside. And I'm telling you something this morning, you may be 25 in good health, or you may be 75 with terminal cancer. But you will die and go to hell unless God does something. Now, we may not have anybody like that here, but this is on tape. Maybe somebody here that has an effect on them. God shows us here how He saved His people from death. And He used four lepers to do it with. And God uses saved sinners to bring unsaved sinners to cross where God might save them. And folks, let me say this right now. God don't save a man to get him to the cross. That's my job. That's your job. The cross saves a man. Our job, what God has called us to do, is to point men to that cross. Look, I know where there's a city where you can find food and raiment and rest and peace. Where is that place? At Calvary. Not in the Baptist. Folks say, would you like to come join our church? To heck with the church. You don't get them to Calvary, they're going to hell. Amen? We got so many people around that's so sold on traditional religion. I've never seen a woman told me, she said, well, I go to this church and I've always been that. Well, if it's always been wrong, you've always been wrong. Amen? If your traditional religion's wrong, you've always been wrong. Your mama's wrong. Your daddy's wrong. Your grandma's wrong. Your granddaddy's wrong. If it ain't Bible, it's wrong. You go to hell following that traditional religion. And that's what people are doing today. Nothing based on the Word of God. God fulfilled His Word to the letter. God said this. He said, tomorrow there's going to be food sold in the city gate here, cheapest ever been. People didn't believe it. One man said it can't happen. Now Elijah said, that'll cost you your life for saying that. Folks, people that'll sit back and reject God's Word is going to cost them their soul in hell. God's Word is true. God's Word will be fulfilled to the letter. There's a great story here of how God used four leopards to preserve His people. And I want to show you one more thing now. I'm going to close on this. The thing that really astounded me when I read all this was the Bible said these, they sit there and they realize the condition they were in. They said, look, we're outside the city. We're sitting here dying. We can go back in there and we're still going to die. We ain't got but one hope. They come to a realization that they had to try something. They come to the realization that they had to do something or just sit there and die. Now I'll give you an illustration of that. There was a thief on the cross. Jesus died between two thieves. That thief, one of them realized the condition he was in. He said so. And he realized he only had one hope, and that was the man that was beside him. He said, Lord, remember me when thou come in thy kingdom. And God said today, thou shalt be in paradise. There's another man in the Bible, one day on the road to Damascus, going up there to persecute Christians. And the Bible says a light shined so bright, it blinded him for 3 days. It was 12 noon. It was a light. brighter than the sun, a light brighter than the noon sun. And he recognized the fact that it was God. He come to himself. The Bible talks about a man over in Luke 15. He had a father that had a mansion, had hired servants to feed the best food, wear the best clothes, have the best life. And he found himself in the hog pen, slopping with the hogs. And he come to himself. Folks, that's something a sinner's got to do. He's got to one day come to himself and say, look at here, if I don't accept Christ, I'm going to burn. And that's what we'd better tell him. We better quit this junk. God loves you and I love you and how sweet it is. Folks, ain't nothing sweet about the cross. The cross was blood and nails and guts and death. Ain't nothing sweet about that. God loves you and we do.